My name is Tim Nordwind.
And I'm Drea Smith.
And together you are...
Pyramids.
So this is like now the full array of the OK Go this independent music project.
This is Pericadute.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
This was internet dating to start out. This was internet dating. A friend introduces you via email, and you're internet dating, and then it turns into this. All it says is a friend introduced you, so we need to let this out. Who's the friend? I have to do the really bad, you know, TMJ or TME or TMZ. I call it TMJ. It's the TMZ question. Who's the friend, and will you tell?
Sure. we have a mutual friend, Jessica Gagne, who was in a DJ duo called Money Penny in Chicago. And she and I were in the same scene in Chicago. I was in another band called He Say, She Say. Mm-hmm. And it was more of electronic, electro kind of clash thing that was going on in Chicago between the years 2006, 2010. So she and I became friends through that. And she was friends with Tim for a long time. And she introduced us.
Okay, great. We've been introduced. What do we do? And there was obviously mutual admiration for the work. What were those first couple of emails like? Hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. Well, so want to write some song? Well, I guess so. I don't think so.
Not at all.
I know. I have
all of them saved in my Gmail.
I am sure that that is exactly not how it happened.
Tim wrote me first. And it was like by far the best email I think I've ever gotten from anyone.
Wow.
He was just like, "Hi, my name is Timothy Nordwind, and I'm in a band called OK Go." And I'm like, "Of course I know who you are."
Always undersell. It works every time.
I'm like, "This guy is so modest. I already like him." And we just, he was just like, "A friend of mine let me hear your music, and I like it, and this and that." And then I was like, "Holy crap, it's Tim Nordwind from OK Go writing me." And I wrote back and it kind of, I was like, "I like these bands. You like these bands? I like these bands." And it just kind of went back and forth like that.
Yeah. I mean, I remember...
You can get more specific.
I remember going to listen to He Say, She Say, which was Drea's band at the time. And I loved her voice. And I was told that Drea wanted to do something a little bit more minimal and a little bit more inspired by like early 80s post-punk British stuff, which I really loved.
There's that word right there. See
yeah.
That? British post-punk. Yeah. There it is. Amazing.
But I mean, you know, I grew up listening to The Smiths and The Cure and New Order and stuff like that. And without even telling Drea that, she kind of hit me back with like, "I really love Susie and the Banshees and The Smiths and The Cure and New Order and Joy Division," you know. So I remember the correspondence just kind of starting there. You know, I don't even know what I was necessarily writing to her about. I was just kind of like, I was told we might get along musically, and what do you like? And here's what I like. And
maybe we could like do something. You never know.
Yeah. But we were really, you know, we were kind of pen pals for 3, 4, 5 months before we actually started getting down to sending tracks to one another. So I remember Drea sending me, Christine by Susie and the Banshees, saying like she wanted to cover that. And I just remember thinking like, man, first of all, I hadn't really listened to the song Christine in like 15 years or something like that. You know, I mean, it's a great song.
Because it's not Hong Kong Gardens, right?
No, you know what I mean? But I did. I mean, I had it, I put it on a lot of mixtapes in high school. You know? And the fact that it was like showing back up in my life through Drea, I just sort of thought like, well, this is a really good sign.
It is actually perfectly common these days to trade tracks.
Yeah.
Right? People do this. 80% of bands are not in the same place anymore. I mean, where was that moment it really took its form? Can you identify that? Can you say this is where you knew what it was going to be?
Well, the first, we did about 3 tracks online where Tim was sending me just the instrumentation, and I had just learned how to properly use GarageBand because I had just gotten a computer. And I was using my roommate's computer to write back and forth with him at first, and then I bought my own. But the song Human Beings was the first, like, where it clicked for us. He sent me, it was just a simple bass track with, like this glitchy kind of, like, it reminded me of, like She's Lost Control. Like, it was just, like, this glitchy drum thing. And then I was just, like, I wanted to layer it out with a bunch of vocals, and it was kind of like haunty, moody, swirly vocals. And Tim was like, oh, this is a song. Like, we can go from here.
From the first song and on through, where did you continue to trade demos back and forth for a long, long time? And how long was that?
I'm trying to think. I mean, Drea and I basically recorded the songs Human Beings, That Ain't Right, and Don't Go via email, more or less. And so, and that was over the course of probably 7 or 8 months or something
wow.
like that. Yeah. And I remember, I personally had made, it was New Year's Eve 2010.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I remember calling Drea the next day and being like, all right, Pyramids is like, it's my New Year's resolution. Like, I want to take the three songs we have, I want to record a couple more, and I want to officially put this out into the world. Do you want to come to Los Angeles and record with me? You know, because we hadn't actually recorded anything together face to face.
We had met at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, we had met face to face, but we hadn't written together face to face. And so, yeah, we basically decided to take a week and, you know, finish up the three that we had and try and get two more done. That was for the EP called Human Beings. And that was all recorded in my little basement studio, which, like you said, it was kind of dank and dark.
No insult, by the way.
What's that?
All basement studios are supposed to be dank and dark.
Yeah, but this one really was. I mean, in order to soundproof the room out.
You had William Friedkin in to decorate it.
Yeah, well, in order to soundproof the room out, I actually had, you know, I had to block out all the windows and everything like that. And it just felt like a little dark space pod or something like that. And so we made the entire EP in that room. And then we called, and we were actually able to get Dave Fridman to mix.
Yeah, we're gonna go there.
Which was lucky, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, if we're gonna go there, I won't.
Well, no, you know what? Yeah. You know what? There's no rule of order.
Okay.
Thank goodness, I don't think there is. So let's go there for a second.
Yeah.
The producer and then the you know, the engineer and then the mixer. Now, when you conceived this record, when you were working on it, and you were talking about the sound, did you have him in mind in any way, shape, or form? Because when you hand your tracks to Dave Fridman, you're it's not a deal with the devil, but it's a deal with getting certain things that are going to happen. It's going to be pretty full on. The meter is going to be here.
Yeah.
And it's going to be pretty full.
I mean, I remember when we were making the EP, when we knew we were making an EP, you know, like when we had decided, like, okay, let's make this, and Drea came. I had written to Dave to sort of tell him, like, hey, I'm working on this project. It's kind of this minimal sort of dark pop thing. And it's with my friend Drea. You know, would you give it a listen? And he said, sure. And he wrote me back and said that he liked it. And I said, would you think about mixing it possibly? I sort of didn't think he would say yes, because I didn't know if it would be like his kind of thing.
Because it was a little out of his. Because when you say, you know, it's so interesting when you, and you've used it multiple times, when you say the word minimal, right? It's minimal in terms of structure and purity and all of that.
Yeah.
But in terms of soundscape, I'm not sure I would call it.
Yeah, no,
minimal,
you might be right. I mean, they're definitely, there's a lot of textures going on and things like that. But, you know, but they're meant to be, sometimes they're meant to be a little bit more subliminal at times, you know.
Right.
And I knew that Dave understood that. You know, I knew he would know what was like the main sonic focus versus what was the thing that was just supposed to be, you know, in the back of the speaker. So I, you know, we were really psyched when he actually said he had time to do it, and he really, you know, as far as I'm concerned, he really got it right.
I never really thought about it till now, but Dave Fridman can do the loudest quiet in the world.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I never put it into words till now, but now that I think about it, that's a great, you know, that's how I would describe his sound, because it can be really loud quiet.
For sure.
So is this a project, a band, or a croissant?
This is a band. We are a band.
But, okay, interesting. I mean, so when people...
We do love croissants. I ate a lot of them in Paris. We both did.
Turn this on so I can see.
I don't think I work. The car's not on.
It might not.
Oh, well, we'll make it work. I can always use my phone as a light.
Yeah. But we're a band. Yeah, we're a band.
So when people turn around, and I want to get this out because I think this is really important, mm-hmm. and they say, so these are, I'm going to do it in my full on wise ass voice. So,
do it.
So these are side projects of OK Go, right? Aren't bands allowed to be in other bands? Or is there an exclusivity that is required in the world?
No, I don't think there are really any rules to, you know, what makes a band and what makes another band. And
so you say it's a band in terms of that there is an intent not just to make one recording, there's an intent.
We were just actually talking about the next songs that we're about to do for the next album. We're already about to start writing again. So, yeah, it's a band. Definitely not just a one-off or side project. I mean, I do other things too, and so does Tim, but we really love Pyramids and how it's grown.
I think some people are a little bit surprised when they come to see the full show, and it's you know, it's a little bit larger than life. It's a little bit larger than the record, even, at times, which...
Yeah, soundcheck sounded that way, for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, and that's it's a fun interpretation of the record, I think, what we do live.
And this is also, because you've already been overseas, and what's really fun about overseas is sometimes they pick up on that. Well, we know that they pick up on all sorts of things. But there is a great perception to doing it there, you know, first. Mm-hmm. And then America goes, ooh, it's exotic.
I honestly don't care what brought them there. I don't think we care what brought them there as long as they're there and they're happy when they leave. And it seems to us that they seem to be pretty happy when they leave. We've had some conversations as to where Pyramids is heading next.
Pyramids the band.
Tim and Drea. Where we're heading next. And we really love this album. We really do. And the thing, I think the best way to go about it is how we did with this album. We didn't come into it with an idea of what it would sound like. We let it become what it became. And all we talk about is the fact that we want to write more songs. Great ones. And however they come about, we welcome it. We don't have...
So there's no, like, well, we'll have Fridman mix all our stuff.
Oh, well, no, yeah, Fridman. Fridman, yes.
Well, you see, I asked that as a rhetorical question, because that's a big, for an entity,
that's like
back to Wes Anderson, that's like saying, we want Wes Anderson, you know, I'm a novelist, and I want Wes Anderson, you know, to direct my movie.
You know, I think we've got a really... You know, if our collaborators will have us back, we would love to collaborate again.
I think they'll say okay. I think it'll happen.
And you know, as far as yeah, well, thanks. I mean, you know, and as far as the style, I mean, like Drea said, you know, a lot of it happens organically. You know, there's some things that I think we like about this current record that we would maybe like to build on a little bit more. You know, songs like Don't Go and That Ain't Right, which actually come from the EP, which stuck around.
That.
Yeah, which, you know, and there's sort of, you know, they're definitely a mixture of like lo-fi, hi-fi elements. But yeah, I mean, I think there's elements in songs like Don't Go and That Ain't Right that are a pretty decent, a good example of like lo-fi, hi-fi elements sort of coming together and exploding to make something else. You know, and I don't know. I mean, in my imagination, I hear the next round of things kind of going that way even more.
I do a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's two songs from your releases, The Bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between. Yeah.